Today we remember with love and thanksgiving those who have died, members of our own families, our friends, former clergy and laity of this and other places where we've worshipped, the monks and abbots, canons and deans of old, all those who are buried or memorialized in this holy place. We remember those who died recently, especially those for whom no one in particular is praying. We remember those who died in terrible circumstances, through the violence of others or in great pain or at their own hands. And we remember those who've died peacefully. This is a solemn and communal remembrance when we come together once again, as we did at their funerals and have done many times since, to place all these people into the hands of God. Trustingly and lovingly, we ask God in his great mercy to forgive them their sins and to give them a place of light and happiness and peace in his presence. And our solemn remembrance is full of hope and a quiet joy. For here we plead before God the eternal sacrifice of his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that takes our sins away and that conquers death, offering the promise of eternal life to all who trust in him. And yet, this solemn remembrance, however far we focus our thinking on those we love and see no longer, can't fail to open in our minds questions about death and life. We can't avoid occasional speculation about what will be our own experience of death. Will it be peaceful? Will it be quick? Will it be when we're really old and very tired, or will death come to us sooner than that, through illness or accident? I suppose we might often think that when the time comes, we'd like it to be unexpected and painless. But we should recognize the impact on those close to us. Perhaps better would be a short time of illness, with enough space to put things in order. We can't tell. We can't decide. So we should treat each day as if it were our last. But that's not easy. So in purely human terms, we must all live with uncertainty. We're uncertain about death and about life beyond death. Even if we have total faith and confidence in God's promises, we're still uncertain about what it'll be like. And we're uncertain about our own future, and in particular our own experience of dying. I sometimes think I wouldn't be afraid to be dead, but I suppose it would be unusual not to have some fear and uncertainty about the manner of our dying. In practice, we put these fears aside most of the time and learn to live with them. Death is not much discussed in our society these days, only the question how we can avoid pain. And for many people, during their lives, their experience of death is very remote. We know in theory how different it must be in a war zone or where terrorism and violence is a real risk, but perhaps even there, people tend to think they have every chance it won't come to them yet. Death, however, is a certainty, not a risk. We shall all one day die. Our body will be stilled and will cease to renew itself. We shall be separated from all that we know in this life, and at least for a time from those we've loved here. How should we approach all this? There's much reassurance in the readings we've heard But the second reading from St. Peter's first epistle has something profound and challenging to suggest. This is right at the beginning of St. Peter's epistle. He starts on a dramatically confident and upbeat note. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. What a promise. St. Peter knows well of the suffering of the people to whom he's writing. He knows that they're living with risk, living with fear, facing persecution as Christians. He knows the reality of death, and he'll eventually face a terrible death by crucifixion himself. We hear this later in the epistle when he says, "Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that's taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed." But don't forget that great shout of confidence, of triumph. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us a new birth. St. Peter knows of the degradation of the death of our Lord and of his own denial of ever having known him. He knows of the despair that accompanied that dreadful act. He remembers all too well the fear and self-loathing, the longing and waiting. But something has happened to change all that, to turn him into a new man, to give him new birth. At the end of 40 days after the resurrection, days when he and his fellow apostles had remained locked in the upper room for fear of the Jews, they had an astonishing experience of love and joy and peace through the gift of the Holy Spirit. The decisive moment, the moment that changed their lives and that changed history, the moment that drove away all fear, was the moment when the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out on them as tongues of flame danced on their heads and a rushing mighty wind blew through the house. By the time he wrote his epistle, St. Peter had come to know that the power of that experience, the richness of that gift, had been made available by God through baptism. He knew that those baptized like him could be born again by water and the Spirit and enter into the new life that he was experiencing in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He'd seen the effects of the Holy Spirit on individuals who'd expressed their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So in a sense that is absolutely true and real, those of us who have expressed our faith in Christ and been baptized have already died and already enjoy the gift of new life that we have been given, just like St. Peter himself. "In this you rejoice," he said, "even if now for a little while you've had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Through the sacrifice of the cross, death died. Through our baptism, the death in us died. Words of John Donne. "Death, be not proud, though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. For those whom thou think'st thou dost overthrow, die not, poor death, nor yet canst thou kill me. One short sleep past, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die.